Splash, splash, splash. Splash your sass, splash your sass. Hey with Amy, Quinn Lee. Splash your sass, starting now with Amy, Quinn Lee. Go.
What up, fools? Welcome to the Splash Your Sass podcast. I am your host, Amy Quinley, and today we are here to recap Jeff Lewis Live for the week of March 25th to the 29th. And speaking of fools, I'm the biggest one of all. And on Fridays, I have to listen to Jeff Lewis actually live. And you guys, after the first break, I don't know, I started the show late. And so then I can usually like catch up and not have to listen to the first round of advertisements. Everything in my life is meticulously planned out. Welcome to OCD world. But basically, I missed the first part of coming back from the first break. And he was talking about a cease and desist. And from what I could gather, they weren't naming names at that point, but it sounded like they were talking about Julie and Brandy. And I really need to know what the fuck happened there. So when my alarm goes off. Okay, so yeah, what I had to do was, because I need to listen to it, I need to fucking hear it. That's important to recap. So right before Jeff Lewis Live actually ended on the app, you can restart the show from the beginning. So I did, and I put the volume all the way down and set an alarm for a half an hour later. So then I can catch the beginning part after they come back from the first break. It's a whole thing. I know. I'm ridiculous. And next time I should just listen to the show properly, but I just want to always find, I'm my own scammer. I'm trying to find a way out of listening to commercials and that whole scam of capitalism. Welcome to America. All right. What a doozy that was. That was all to say welcome to Jeff Lewis Live Recaps. All right. Starting with Monday's episode, we had Sarah Colonna and Jody Sweetin. How rude. I mean, I know that must get so old for Jody, because that was her little character's tagline in Full House, but it also just plays in my mind. It's just like a part of my dialect, you know, like it's part of my vocabulary. It's just in my language to say how rude. You know, my parents still send me like the Mary-Kate and Ashley gifts, like, you got it, dude. And they're like, it looks like you when you're a kid. And I was like, if only. Okay, so Toby, Jeff's dog Toby, he destroyed the house, and Jeff thought he got ransacked until he found a big wet spot. And then he was like, obviously, the robbers wouldn't take a second to pee all over my couch. I mean, maybe, I don't know what the fuck goes on in Los Angeles. But Jeff said, oh my God, you guys. All right, so he was like, at first, I thought Toby just urinated there, but it was actually water from a spray bottle. And I was like, urinated there? I mean, talk about your own dictionary with your own vocabulary. Jeff, how many times did you have to go to the urologist before you became that comfortable saying urination? Urination? What the, are we urination at the coronation? Like, it sounds so fucking formal. Why wouldn't you just say he peed on the couch? Urinated on the couch? I mean, sure, yeah, if you're trying to go for the big verbiage, you nailed it. But I would right click synonym on urination and just, I prefer he peed on, but okay, that's my thing. And also later, dick pics came up, and Jody Sweetin, she's she said something about a wang. She oh, Lisa Lang, show me your wang. Who's Lisa Lang? Is that somebody? Oh, it's an actress. Huh. But yeah, it was, I was like, Jody, are you still stuck in the 90s TV? Like, I feel like she's like in the 90s, like, old antennas on the TV, and, you know, and you just want to like open the box and take her out and be like, Jody, you can say dick now. You don't need to see a wang. Have you seen his wang? It ain't nothing but a man wang. It ain't nothing but a human wang. It ain't nothing but a chicken wang. Okay, so let's move on from people's vocabularies. We can all say what we want to, sure, but Don't think I'm not going to giggle about it. All right, so Toby did eat Jeff's Louis Vuitton wallet, Louis Vuitton, and his buy nine, get one free punch card for some Jamba Juice, I don't know, somewhere. And basically every single credit card, license, well, all that shit. The only thing that Toby could not sink his teeth through was the American Express Platinum card. You guys, tell me that is not a fucking commercial. And like, that could not be more perfect. Jeff Lewis, who's your agent? Who the fuck is your agent? Why are they not talking to American Express right now? I mean, maybe they have, and American Express was like, that's a no for me, dog. Literally, no for me and your dog, dog. No, but to hire Jeff Lewis and Toby Lewis to be in the next American Express commercial? Move over, Taylor Swift, and your Capital One. Oh, we got Jeff Lewis in town. No, but for real, to have Toby be able to chew through everything except American Express Platinum, come on, that's reason enough to spend your whole life lusting for that giant metallic piece of unbreakable plastic. I don't fucking know, but really, it does sound like a great commercial. Okay, so Jody Sweetin then said, yikes, Jeff, if that happens again, like before that happens again, actually, because it probably will, knowing Toby, take a picture of all your credit cards and everything that's important to you in your wallet in case you lose it. Which is just like life 101, you know, but I'm glad that Jody's here to teach peeps about it. But I do this, but then I also question it at the same time. I don't do all my cards. Like, don't do all, you just do one card and your license, because what if your iCloud gets hacked? Now you're digitally have your wallet eaten by a dog. Okay, you literally have your digital wallet eaten by a dog because somebody can take your iCloud pictures, see all of your credit cards, all of your most important documents, and bada, bada bang, bada boom. We're buying American Express Platinum cards for everybody in the scammer's family. Oh my God, it must be so nice to be in the family of a scammer. Like, you must get the best Christmas presents. Just don't ask Uncle Jerry where the Louis Vuitton purse is from, but thanks, Uncle Jerry. There's like, just smile, just shut the fuck up and smile and say thank you. Do not ask how he afforded it. Don't ask anything. Like, no, we just, sure, thank you, sir. Go scam some more and bring us back some goods. No, don't you guys. Put in the hard work and continually just chase the fucking mouse wheel of life for the rest of eternity. It's fun. It's fun. Okay, so then later in the episode, Oscar reveals, because it was his birthday. Happy, happy birthday to all our friends and you. Why don't we do that song anymore? It was fucking fun. Fucking fun to do. And of course they took that shit away. So instead we talk about how Oscar took off his custom license plate holder for Jeff's birthday, because we know how much Jeff is annoyed. He's very triggered by Oscar's custom license plate because it reminds him of his ex Chef Stew's custom license plate. Except Chef Stew had a custom license plate and Oscar's is a custom license plate holder. So now we just need somebody in Jeff's world that has both things and it'll be a trigger for the ages. We'll just watch him spiral even harder than he has been. Okay, but truly all I could think of, like, does anybody else listen to Everything Iconic with Danny Pellegrino? Every time when I tune into him, that kid, talk about making me giggle. Oh my God. But he, if there was a podcast awards in the Amy stratosphere, he would win the soundbite award. Like, he fucking wins with his soundboard. It's hilarious. And his most used sound is definitely like do 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 whenever something's like extremely questionable. And all I could think in this moment is do 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 do, like, what the Oscar, the effort that took for 5 seconds of your boss being like, cool, I'm glad you took it off, just to what, put it back on if an hour later. Like, again, the effort that takes for like a joke ish that doesn't even really land. Yeah, I just, the cringe was felt all the way on the East Coast. All right, moving on to, and I didn't need psychic abilities for that one, but moving on to the Tuesday episode, we had some people on who do have psychic abilities. Yes, both of them, we learned. Starting with Mr. Tyler Henry and Connie Wilson. That I was supposed to like sound a little more beautiful, but I feel like I broke a few windows for that one. And again, because I truly will forget otherwise. Yeah, welcome to OCD ADHD. Shane Douglas was here all motherfucking week, baby. I think he was there on Friday. I don't really remember hearing that muskrat chirp up too much, but again, that might be because he was had his arsehole clenched the entire time waiting for Jeff to talk about Julianne Brandy, J&B, B&J, BJ, BJ. All right. Okay. So back to intros and reminiscing on the happy birthday song. Remember when we used to be like, Carney Wilson's on. Whoa, Carney. And now we're like, Carney, can you fucking lower your mic for a second? Like, we're trying to listen to Tyler Henry talk. And she's she's like, I'm a psychic too. We're like, scram, scram. Beat it, toots. We're trying to listen to the professional. No, you know I fucking love you, Carnival. You fucking know you're my girl, girl. Okay, so Tyler Henry, he used to have his own reality show called Hollywood Medium, where he read celebrity clients. I believe it was on E! But that ended, and his new show on Netflix, Life After Death, he just reads normies. He does psychic readings or spiritual read. I don't know, like, I feel like these psychic people, they get so like, I'm not a psychic medium, I'm a spiritual healer. And then some people are like, I'm not a spiritual, I'm a clairvoyant. And so, but I'm not a clairvoyant, I'm a psychic. And other people are, I'm not a psychic, I'm a psycho, bitch. No, people don't do that. Just me. Oh my gosh. Okay, but yeah. So, anyways, the Life After Death show. He just reads normal people, not specifically celebrities. And Tyler loves doing that so much more. He just finds it more fulfilling. But Jeff has done the opposite in his reality television career. Him and Tyler completely flipped and, oh, just like flipping out, except it was flipping shows. And so basically Jeff, he, with flipping out, he was working with normies. I mean, sure, some high end, all high end $1 million budgets, but also, and maybe some celebrities sprinkled in there, but basically normies. And then Now in his Amazon freebie, Hollywood Houselift. Ew, I just said Hollyweed. Hollyweed, how, that is that a show name? Hollyweed? I would like to go there. I would like to go there. It sounds like a magical land. But in Hollywood, not as fun. Yeah, Jeff, he doesn't, he only works with celebrity clients now. And so it was just very interesting how he kept on throughout this episode with Tyler. He kept on being like, wait, you do love your show now though, it seems. It seems like you love this show so much more. And I can't believe, like, I, every time I talk to you about it, it seems like you really love working with the people. You're one with the people. And I was like, Jeff, are you putting the feelers out there to like see if you want to go back to working with just the people instead of celebrity clients? Because if you ask this girl, I would say that's the way to go. Hands down, when I can't believe you're, I, to me, Jeff working with these celebrities, I like using quotation marks, I know that they are celebrities, but like to be in Josh Duhamel's bathroom on Amazon Freevee, I'm just like, yikes, Josh, you know, like, and that's nothing, that's no offense to Jeff, it's no offense to Josh, you both would take offense to it, I'm sure, but like, it just, I feel like you should be on HGTV then, you know, like, go be on HGTV with all the cheesy celebrity clients, like, and not D-list celebrity clients, but like, you know, it's ones where it really does feel like their agents are like, hey, this is a great opportunity for a free $30,000 house renovation, and then you have somebody like fucking Kate Bosworth, who you think is like a huge name for the show, and like, oh, yeah, we got Kate Bosworth, an Emmy winner, whatever. I'm sure she's won something. Heard her fucking name enough in my lifetime. And then she literally, I don't even think she let us in her house. We were literally in the back crevice of her backyard, and Jeff redid 1 square inch of grass. He did, you guys. He redid 1 tiny square of her backyard, and she fucking called in on an iPad. We didn't even see her in the flesh half the time. She called in on a motherfucking iPad, as if we all don't have Zoom fatigue by now. Again, I don't want to see anybody's fucking face on a screen unless it's purposely on TV or like YouTube. So I guess there's a lot of faces I want, but not a screen within a screen. That's the issue. I don't want to see a screen. I don't want to see on my screen you on a screen, okay? It's fucking enough screens for everybody. And so I just think Jeff is jumping his own shark. Like, he just thrives better when he's around normal people. And again, there was no draw for Kate Bosworth. I know most people know who she is. I think she's a model. Is she an actor and an actress? Even she was on the show and I don't even remember. She was on Hollywood and they must have introduced her. I don't fucking remember. You can't remember everything in life. But it is just so interesting why Jeff kept on asking Tyler, like, and he really did bring it up so many times. Like, so you do like life, you seem so much happier with life after death. And it's like, do you need Hollywood Housewife to die so we can start up another one with you and some normies? Because again, that's just the pocket in which I find Jeff Lewis to thrive in, where we can actually go inside a motherfucker's house and not be fucking exiled. We're not exiled to the back corner of their backyard, Kate Bosworth. Come the fuck on, bitch. Fucking show us your bedroom or hop off the show. Get off the shit or get off the pot, bitch. Love you all. Okay, so then Carney asks Tyler, is it always noisy up there in that brain of yours? Oh my God, you know what they like have? I don't know. I just feel like Tyler Henry could be on any podcast and they would have asked these same questions. You know, like it's always, whenever a psychic's on, it's always like asking about their abilities and how do you see it? And they're all just like, I just feel it. Like, I just feel it. I don't know what to tell you, you know? And it's not like the Google or Apple glasses, Apple eyeglasses that Toby, Jeff better not buy. I heard they start at $4,000. And if fucking Toby is already eating his reading glasses that probably cost $400, we're not adding a 100% increase to the value of things that Toby's going to start eating. Eat the $400 glasses. We're not buying $4,000 ones. So I'm just saying, and when you use those, though, it's the augmented reality where it's like something pops up in front of you. So it's like you could be in your room and all of a sudden a TV could appear in front in your room, even though there's no TV and it's like a big screen and a movie starts playing. So why was I talking about these glasses again? I don't fucking know. Oh, yeah, maybe that is how some psychics or clairvoyants, whatever the fuck they want to be called. Maybe that's what they see. But for the most part, yeah, they just all fucking feel things. And I'm sure that they feel annoyed that every podcast or every interview they go on, everybody asks them the same shit. Like, can we get to more, like a deeper level of it or like some layer that everybody else hasn't hit on? I don't have to, if I listen to any Tyler Henry interview on E! News, on Bravo, on this, on that, Page Six, blah, blah, it would all be like, so how do these same questions that Carney and Jeff were asking, which is great. They're genuinely, it shows like that is the common questions that humans are generally interested when it comes to talking about the spiritual world and psychic abilities, all that. But again, it's just like, let's find a different layer, a different perspective to go at this. You know, I just like to be original, but who am I? Who am I? It's Jeff's show. So also, Carney, if it was a requirement for being a psychic that your brain has to be noisy all the time, I'd be charging by the second. Half the people I know would be charging by the second. I know, sometimes I'm just like looking for that clicker to just like press the mute button up there, but maybe I should scribble it out. I'm going to start taking Tyler Henry's approach, scribble it out on paper and see what fucking message I can find. Is it the alarm going off yet? You guys, I need to pause and listen. Let's hear. I can't show you where to start. experience the... Oh my god, it's the commercial break, you guys. He's about to come back from it. I'm about to find out what happened. Why am I clapping? I'm nervous, actually. I do not want him and Julian Brandy to be in any more feuds. Okay, so very quickly, before I have to tap back into Jeff Lewis for a second. So Tyler was like, it's not that noisy in my brain. I just get inundated with impressions. For example, when I was driving here, I hear a conversation about someone, something getting stolen, you know? So it's all meaningless to me and just like random things that make no sense until I then talk to the people that I'm going to meet and then they help put the pieces together. And I'm like, he must be talking about Shane's porch pirate, right? Shane was talking about last week how people keep stealing his packages. I'm like, how do you not have a Ring cam, by the way? Maybe he does. I kind of forget. But yeah, so I'm just like, Tyler, I wonder if that's what they talked about. Because if Tyler's like, it's so random on the way here. It was just like someone getting something stolen. And I was like, yeah, because we keep on talking about Shane's porch pirate. So aye, aye, matey. All right. I'm going to tap out for a second and go get my heart broken with Jeff Lewis and BJ's feud. I hope that I heard it wrong, but yeah, I'll be back. Woof, 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 wish me luck. I love you guys. Okay, we're back. Oh my God, you guys, woof. All right, so it was definitely about Julian Brandy. Oh my God, definitely about Julian Brandy. We will get to that. We'll get to that in Friday's episode. We are still on Carney and Tyler right now. As if I can focus on anything but Julian Brandy right now. Okay, no, but Jeff asked Tyler Henry if he can solve unsolved crimes, which is, again, a very common question, but one of the more interesting ones for psychics, because if they can, why not? Like, why aren't you guys solving more crimes? Why aren't you telling us the lotto numbers? Things like that. And I know Tyler would be like, it doesn't work like that. Can you make it work like that? Can you make it? Can you make it? Let's try. Let's try. All right. There's a big Powerball coming up on Saturday. Show me the money, baby. Okay. But Jeff was like, look, I have a hate crime that I'm currently investigating. So I could really use your help because I got some bullies in the DMs, baby. And Tyler was like, you don't need a psychic for that. It was Heather McDonald, bitch. I was like, damn, Daniel, oh my God, Tyler, you little hooligan, you little rascal, are you a psychic or a sniper? Oh, he was making these little snipe comments left and right, and I was fucking loving it. It was just like one zinger after the next. It was, but okay, also though, it was a little rude, Tyler. I know he was joking, but I'm like, come on, that was a little petty. You're being a little petty ass bitch. Don't try her. Don't try Heather. I don't want to see Heather and Tyler go up against. I don't know how that would work out. I feel like Heather would end up fainting again somehow. Tyler would summon the spirits to strike down on Heather. I don't know. But speaking of Heather McDonald, you guys, and since Sarah Colonna was on yesterday, and since we're talking about friendship rifts this week, oh my God, I'm okay. Yeah, back staying on Sarah and Heather. So this is some behind the scenes unsaid tea that I don't know if other people have picked up on. And it might, to be fair, it might have been said behind a paywall, but it has not been freely said on any platform that I can recall. But there is a slight Heather and Sarah rift that all kind of ties back to Jeff Lewis Live. Who else? Who the fuck else? Except the destructive cult leader himself. No, but... So it basically, you can tell when Justin Martindale, he used to be a regular on Heather's Juicy Scoop podcast. And then there was something where he wanted her to speak out against all this hate that he was getting and clarify something. And she didn't do it. And so then Justin got really mad at her and was like, what the fuck? I've been there for you for so long. We've done so much together. You can do this one fucking thing for me. And Heather was like, no. Nah, bitch. And so I'm sure in retrospect, she wishes she had done it because it would have just made life a lot easier. But instead, it basically ended Justin and Heather's friendship, I think, allegedly, from what I've heard. And so, which isn't much. I haven't heard much about it. But so then Sarah Colonna has always been a regular on Heather McDonald. And basically, once Heather and Justin split up, Justin then came over to Jeff Lewis Live and was like, I've been wanting to do your show. And Jeff's like, I've been wanting to have you on. But we both know that Heather was kind of cock blocking this from happening, or friend blocking. Let's call it, that's more polite, friend blocking. Like, she was like, these are my friends. This is my show. I don't want us to have the same guests, even though they always kind of have the same guests anyways. So that's fun. But so, and it doesn't matter. Like, you guys talk about different things, we can all talk about the same shit, and we would listen if it was entertaining. So the competition thing, you don't need to worry about that, Heavy. But she is worried about, like, her friends talking about her behind her back and all this, especially after the Megan Weaver scandal of 2023, where Megan Weaver told Heather that everybody basically hated her and didn't like her and just talked shit about her behind her back. So again, Heather became very sensitive about her friendships, and she was saying at the time, like, I don't want people who fuck with other people to then fuck with me. Like, basically, if you fuck with Jeff Lewis, you can't fuck with me. And so then Sarah Colonna, right after Justin jumped ship and started going on Jeff Lewis Live, Sarah Colonna was like, I too have been cock blocked, friend blocked by Heather McDonald's for being on Jeff Lewis Live. And Jeff's like, I want Sarah on. And Sarah's like, I want to be on, as they should, as she should. And so now you can tell from behind the scenes that Heather is so livid that Sarah Colonna, after all of this drama with all her friends, all of that, has now decided to start going on Jeff Lewis Live out of nowhere. Like, not out of nowhere, but just that it's all happening right at the same time that the Juicy Hoop scandal of 2023 occurred with Crystal Lamas and all the alpaca farm that Jeff Lewis is running over there. It was like all the farm animals came out to him and haw and yeehaw at Heather and be like, you stole $10,000 earrings, you felon. But Jeff can say that on his public platform. And I don't think Heather sent him a cease and desist letter, but then other people talk about Jeff and he wants to send them a cease and desist. Again, we'll get to that on Friday's episode. All I'm saying is that Heather and Sarah have had such a strong friendship for years, and since Chelsea Lately days, Chelsea Handler times, and to now know that Sarah's been on Juicy Scoop all the time, forever since it's been on, and now ever since being on JLL, Sarah Colonna has not been back to Juicy Scoop one time. You can tell that there is a now rift between Heather and Sarah due to Jeff Lewis, and I just hate it all. I why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? But you kill to the end, stab each other in the head. Like, that's what it sounds like over in Los Angeles. You guys have friendships, and then they all burst into flames, and I guess that happens everywhere, but it's just sad to see, because that's what you fall in love with people in the first place. That's why you fall in love with shows. That's why you fall in love with podcasts and radio shows. That's why I fell in love with JLL during quarantine. That's when I started listening regularly, because they were all stuck inside of Chateau Lewis all the time. The core chumps, and it was just the friendship and camaraderie that I loved, just like the original Housewives. That's why we love it. That's why the new New York Housewives, it's not gonna work. It's a no from all of us, dog. No, I'm sure some of you love it, but to me, I could care less if it's on again. Give me 12 seasons of Love After Lockup and give me none of Real Housewives, because at this point, they just keep replacing core cast members and we don't need new people. No new friends. That's a PSA to Bravo. We don't give a shit about newbies, okay? Like, create a new show, an entirely different show if you want new people. The, like, Housewives formula as it is today standing, it doesn't work. It does not work. What did work was the original friendships and all that. New York House, when they started the new reboot this year, like, none of them were friends. They barely knew each other. We don't want that in reality shows. We want real friendships. Real, that's what makes the most successful things, when it's fucking real, okay? And that's why we loved Jeff and Heather and all of the, like, they were all friends and it was real. And now it's all just blown up in everyone's face. So it's been fun, so fun to watch. No, it's been awful. Just letting Jeff and Heather and all the people who this is their actual life know, just know as an outsider looking in, I'm sad for you guys. It's sad. I love friends. I love when people are friends and I am not miserable. So I don't need company, you know, like I don't want everyone to be miserable. So I hope that they figure this shit out. Couldn't we have asked Tyler Henry that? That's what I'm saying. Couldn't we have asked Tyler Henry, like, when, what would be the cure? Like, can you ask the angels or ask the spirits? Like, what would be a cure for communication in this fucking world? Okay, let's just move the fuck on to that Wednesday episode. We had Miss Sutton Strack, motherfucking clothing on the rack, bitch, and Doug Buden, motherfuckers, he's a Doug Buden. He's a little baby Buden. He's a ducky baby Buden popping Xanax in his Putin. I liked it up until the last I think this is why I get shadow banned from YouTube and stuff, because I say things like Epstein and altar boys and Putin and Boeing whistleblowers allegedly committing suicide when they weren't suicidal at all and just happened to tattletale on one of the most powerful companies, we should say that, maybe not successful at this point, but yeah, so that's how I justify in my head my extremely low numbers. It has nothing to do with my sparkling personality. Okay, so there was lots of Avi work this episode. Avi is Sutton's assistant, and we kept on talking about him on JLL because he was obviously there. He's always there. Sutton's around, as we learned on RHOBH this season. And I will say, Avi is a motherfucking star. He is a fucking star. From the first time I saw him on camera, I was like, I just love him. I love his soul. And the fact, like, you can tell because Sutton is very sarcastic and dry, and you can tell, like, Avi is as well because he just gets it. And a lot of people would probably be like, oh my God, I can't believe she talked to him like that. I can't believe blah, blah, blah. But it's like, they get it. It's like, it's just a humor thing. Well, you know, some people have it, Sutton. What can we say? Some people don't, baby. You can't buy that shit. You can have all the riches in the world. You can't buy that fucking humor. Okay, but yeah, he just Avi carried the show this season, so bravo fucking bravo to Avi. Love you, bitch. Okay, so Jeff keeps on asking Sutton about her store, and we know this about Jeff Lewis, he loves to make fun of Sutton Strack because she has minimal store hours. She's open a few days a week for a couple hours at a time. Which truly, truly, Jeff tries to make it seem as if Sutton is not a hard worker and just so, like, lackadaisical about it. But it is truly the biggest flex in the fucking world. The biggest flex in the world to own commercial retail space in Los Angeles and barely even have to use it. You barely even use it. Like, to have a business that you don't need to be successful. You don't need, it doesn't need to be successful. She doesn't need it to put chicken salad on her son's plate. No, I'm kidding. She doesn't feed her son. She stays out all night and drinks vodka and Ocean Spray cranberry juice with Jeff Lewis at the Abbey. No, I just remember in one Real Housewives episode, I feel like she was making chicken salad with her kids. And I don't know. She doesn't have the same Dorinda/Cookie from Matilda vibes that Chefin Matilda, who's like smearing her snot all in this stuff, and like Dorinda like licking each finger and then like mixing the chicken salad with her own fucking claws. No, Sutton, I would actually trust her to like make it nice, maybe. Make it nice, Dorinda. But yeah, to have a business that you just, Sutton just wants it to be successful for her own self-esteem, but she already has self-esteem, so she doesn't even want it to be that successful. She just wants it. She just wants a store, which is kind of every girl's, like, I don't know many girls that haven't talked with their friends about like opening a clothing store at some point in their life, whether they were 5 years old or 55. But regardless, just never forget that Sutton gets over $300,000 after tax, allegedly by her own admission, though. per month, you guys. $300,000 per month from her ex-husband. So if somebody told me that's what marriage is like, I would have signed up a long time ago. They say, and that's not like gold digging. Like, to me, everything is a transaction. Like, relationships are also transactions. So, like, if you're not getting something from the transaction, sure, interchange, right-click synonym, put in relationship. If you're not getting something from the relationship, then you want to change it. If you're not getting something from the transaction, you want to change it. So, like, you both need to be getting something. So, I want money. So, yeah, if I knew I could, and I just get $300,000 a month, what the fuck would I even do? I know what I would do. I know what I would do. I'd open an Amy shop right next to Sutton, bitch. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so Jeff, all of a sudden, though, on JLL, he was like, uh-oh, we have somebody on line one who wants to share their side of the story. And I'm like, their side of the story to what? What story? I thought we were talking about Sutton's store. Sutton's story? What the And all of a sudden, you guys, the fucking gremlin himself pops through the phone line. No, Michael Beck. I don't even know what this fool looks like, but Michael Beck, he was just like, oh my God, Jeff, I have to defend myself about my tooth falling out at a nightclub. But like, what the fuck? When did we even talk about this story? What even happened? I don't remember that. Did my tooth fall out? I didn't even remember hearing that story on JLL. I might have blacked out for that, but I really was confused what he was even talking about. And I was also just like, I get that when you have a friend like Jeff Lewis who's going to talk shit about you on air, sure, you have the urge to call in and defend yourself. However, I'm just saying, as a listener, I have zero desire to talk about fucking Michael Beck and the cuts in his mouth. He was talking about blood going down his throat or something and finding cavities in the middle of the club while guys were 69ing in front of him. Like, it's just like, I don't even know what's happening. I don't even know you, Michael Beck. Who the fuck is Michael Beck? I get it. He's a great producer. He's an amazing person. Sure. But if we don't know him personally on JLL. So if you're going to talk about him that much, then bring him on as an actual guest. If he's going to keep calling in, like, instead of him just being this fucking floater that just floats in every now and then, like, there's a floater. Normally we all jump out of the pool for this one, but instead you're telling us to fucking drink the Kool-Aid. We're supposed to drink the Michael Beck Kool-Aid when I don't even know who the fuck this floater is. Just invite him on the show. God damn it. He clearly wants to be on. He's fucking not going to say no. He's already called in enough times to equal out one fucking show. Moving on to Thursday's episode, we had Miss Lacey Mosley and Zach Noe Towers. Zach Noe Showers. Zach Golden Showers, bitch. Lacey. Wow, babe. I thought I talked fast, you guys. I still do think I talk fast, but holy shit. What the fuck? Love you, Lace, but damn, girl. And Jeff called it out like 5 minutes into the show. He was like, I don't even know what happened the past 5 minutes. Like, what did you just say? How do people listening to your podcast keep up? Because Lacey is an extremely successful podcaster, and it must be because everybody listens to it at half playback speed. I don't know how else, because I felt like Jeff. I was like, where are we? It was for my squirrel brain to be confused that I just, yeah. So it's just fascinating when, like, you think you have not an issue, when you think you have a quality about you, and then you see the next level of it within somebody else, and you're like, damn, I thought I had big nipples, like, those person nipples are huge. I thought I talked fast, that person's at warp speed. And the fact that Lacey was like, no one says that really, Jeff, that's so weird. Maybe it's just because it's morning and I'm so fucking excited. I was like, what? That's not like a common thing. That's not the first thing people tell you is like, where's this pause button? I love you, Lacey. Okay. So, Jeff asked Lacey if she knows the scammers living inside the SiriusXM studio, AKA Paula 2, bless you, and Patrick Simpson. The Simpsons. Boom, 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 ba-dum, boom, boom, ba-da-da-da-da-da. But then, and Jeff kept on doing that with Tyler Henry and newly acclaimed psychic medium Carney Wilson as well. He kept on being like, oh, you know, Paul and Patrick, the scammers who also try to be psychics. And then he always like, he's joking at first. He has Sour Patch Syndrome, like a lot of us. First he's sour, then he's sweet. So he jokes about them being scammers. And then he instantly takes it back and he's like, no, they're so legit. Everything they say is so accurate, this and that. But then Lacey was like, look, here's my definition of a scammer, because I've been talking about this for years. I'm an expert in scams at this point. And so to me, the true definition of a scam is if one person walks away from a transaction feeling cheated, duped, robbed, or misled by the experience. And you guys, that is exactly how I felt after leaving Patrick and Paul's coffee reading. Okay. I hate to be the one to do this. I've done it. I've talked about it many a times. But I just, if anybody's new listening and they're about to spend the $80 to $100, it's probably up to $200 at this point. Who the fuck knows? I think I spent around $80 for a virtual coffee reading where Paul, they were the loveliest. We had the best time. He told me multiple things, told me like different words that I would have to be the one to do this and that if I wanted these things to happen. And so I did the work. I did everything that he fucking said, and not one thing came true. Almost the complete opposite. So I don't know if he read mine backwards, if it was just an off day, or what I think is like Paul genuinely has the abilities and genuinely reads 99% times people's cup accurately. I truly think I'm like the one person that always gets the fucked up shit. I'm the one person where things don't work for it. Like, it's like a foolproof thing, and I'm the fool that it's not proof for. That's so funny. It's so true. Things are foolproof, but then I am the one fool that it's not proof for. I really do make myself laugh. No, but so again, have your own experiences. I'm sure that I truly do believe that Paul, he has ability. And to his point, like, I could see what he was saying in my own cup. I also, sure, I have, you know, my own intuition shit going on. And so I could see what he was saying. But again, it didn't happen. And I did put in the work. So I don't, none of it came true. So you have your own thing. But I literally felt cheated, duped, robbed, and totally misled, because I felt like Jeff, what's the word? He vetted this psychic for me. So I felt comfortable spending the money. And that's a lot of money, like $80 out of nowhere to just have 20 minutes of somebody like giving you fake futures, you know, like that was a lot for me to do. And it was my own choice. Sure. But again, because Jeff advertised it and vetted it, I thought that it would be true and accurate. And I genuinely believe it is for everybody else. I think I was the exception to the rule. And all I can say is from my own experience, I totally feel like I was duped. I feel duped. But again, I'm sure I'm the anomaly, Amy anomaly, for every fucking thing. Okay, moving on to the Friday episode. We had Dr. Duana Dannenfelsa and Justin Martindale, hopping down his Martin trail. I was trying really hard not to do that this time, but I can't help it. Okay. So Oscar went shopping at Hollister. Okay, be nice, Amy. Saw a cute guy working there. So then he texted the now infamous group chat between Shane, Jameson, and Oscar. I know I'm not invited, but if I was invited in, that would be going on do not disturb real fucking fast. You guys. I think Oscar's like 25, right? And he's texting like a 40-year-old about like, how do I ask out this cute boy at Hollister? I'm like, is this the plot of Hannah Montana? Like, it literally feels like I'm watching the Disney Channel when we talk. Which makes so much sense. It does make perfect sense. They did love Disney, so sure. But yikes, again, back to jumping that shark. I can feel the fins poking up. So Oscar basically wanted to ask this kid out, this random Hollister employee. So him and his friend, they leave Hollister, go track down a stationery store, go find a fucking Hallmark store in the mall. He buys a pen. He bypasses every single fucking store in that mall that has a shop clerk sitting there with a cup of pens at the ready for anybody to borrow to write down their number for a cute boy. You can write it down on a receipt, whatever, sure. But to go to an actual store and purchase a pen is just an entire other can of worms of issues I have that we can't even get into because, again, I don't want to rip this kid apart any more than I already am. Love you, Oski. And also, Justin asked if the Hollister employee was wearing a puka shell necklace. We know Hollister loves their puka. We know the Shaws of Sunset love their hookah, and Hollister loves its puka. No, but puka's such a fun word. It's such a good pet name. Puka. Puka, poo-poo. Well, maybe not the best pet name. So... they ask Dr. Donna if Oscar approached the situation correctly by seeing a cute boy at Hollister, leaving Hollister, going to buy a pen and a pack of paper, writing down his number, going back to Hollister, telling the boy, you can take my number and you can do with it what you may, and hopefully I see you one day, and then just flips his hair and is off in the wind, that little Oski. And Dr. Donna's pause said it all. All right. Silence speaks volumes, and the volume was all the way up on this one, Oscar. So you really got to listen in because, Dr. Donna said, absolutely, as a female, she would have never done it. Jeff steps in as a male, he would have never done it. Let's just take take any of that out of the equation. You don't do it. And if you do it, you don't buy a fucking pen to do it with. You go and ask American Eagle employee next door and you say, hey, there's a cute guy at Hollister. Can we borrow a pen? You don't buy a fucking pen. Look, we talk about Oscar a lot here because Jeff talks about Oscar a lot, but these stories are only getting crazier and crazier. Like from the crying after the kiss on the cheek, that on that date, to then not telling anybody about his dog, to then going to a fucking stationery store to buy a pen to ask a random Hollister employee out. That sentence alone, you can't script that shit. And again, tell me that is not like a middle school children sitcom to have a boy buying a pen to then go over and ask another cute boy out that works at a store. That is literally the Hannah Montana plot line. So I'm just worried. I'm worried, but we pray. Bless everyone's heart. Bless their heart. And then Jameson was like, but don't you find power in the fact that Oscar has his answer now? Because he told the employee to throw his number away. So if he doesn't hear from him, then he has his answer. And he hasn't heard from him, so he has his answer. But to me, I'm like, false, because what if the employee currently is in a relationship? And so he saves the number. And then a year from now, Oscar's in a relationship and he gets a random text from this Hollister employee like, hey, now I'm ready to date. Like, if anything, he left it so open-ended. He completely left the ball in the Hollister employee's court. The employee left with all the balls. Oscar has no balls. He has the left sir no balls. In his court. I'm sure in his pants. He still has some balls. I don't know. If Oscar didn't, he wouldn't tell us. He wouldn't tell us for a few years until we pry it out of him. No, if anybody on Jeff Lewis's show doesn't have balls, you like actual physical balls, you don't tell Jeff because the jokes will be relentless. They already are, but it'll get even worse. So, this whole plot line on JLL, it really left me befuddled. And then I also, this is when the whole Brandy and Julie thing happened and I miss it. So let's just talk about that now. Let's just get into it. All right. So apparently, the other day, Brandy and Julie released a 75-minute Patreon that ripped Jeff to shreds, I guess. So now he wants to send them a Caesar salad. Sorry, no laughing matter. He wants to send them a cease and desist and potentially sue them and all this stuff because even Jeff's hot nanny, Lisa, said that it was really harsh. Like, Jeff, these girls are really going after you. And honestly, they talked about it so much. And like, even Jeff's lawyer had to listen. And she was like, yikes, we totally got a case here. And I know that it wasn't supposed to do this. I'm sure Jeff wanted the opposite effect. But all it really did was make me want to listen. And I never pay for content like that. Like, I have a rule. I just don't pay for shit because I don't fucking want to. And so, but this one, I want to pay for it. I feel like I need to. I feel like I need to hear their side of the story because I only hear Jeff's and I'm so curious. But I also know that the whole point of Jeff talking about this was he was like, these girls are saying awful things about me and I want them to stop. And now I'm like, wait, I want to hear. And that's probably not how he wanted this to end. But you never know how things are going to end. And that's how this episode ends right now. A splash of sass. So we'll be back next week with a motherfucking recap. In the meantime, have the best week ever. I love you guys so much. Bye.
Splash. Splash. Splash of sass. Splash of sass.